This week on the RV Podcast, we meet a couple who tell us why every RVer should have a bucket list and how to make it come true.
You don't have to make a big challenge to go across the country. You can just go across your own state, have a goal, and start working through that list.
My suggestion is pick something that you're passionate about. Maybe it's visiting lighthouses or waterfalls or every craft brewery in your state. Pick something that you already enjoy doing and then go hit all of them.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle. And sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of the RV Podcast. And this week we meet Ari and Jesse Adler, collectively known as the Trekkers. And they tell us how, even with 9-to-5 jobs, they are making their amazingly ambitious bucket list come true. I think you'll find them very inspiring. Also this week, RV news of the week, including a very real murder mystery playing out on the Alaskan highway right now, more bad news for Road Trek, and how the tariff war is taking its toll on the RV industry. Plus tips, your RV lifestyle questions, and an off-the-beaten-path report from the Burkitts. So thanks for putting us in your ears this week. Now to get started, let me welcome my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hi, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, we're back from a week's family vacation in Nashville, Tennessee.
And we haven't had everybody together in one spot in about 3 years, so it was just so nice. As every parent out there knows how nice it is to get your kids, your whole family in one spot.
No, we did take the RV down there and had a great time. We did follow the 330 rule down.
We followed it going down, but not coming back. And
no.
we rented a house in Nashville, and it was a rather large house, and it worked out great. It all worked out just perfect.
How many people did we have?
We had 15. We were missing one grandson.
Yeah, that was a bunch. So our three grown kids, their spouses, and 7 of our 8 grandkids.
And Bo got to come. And it was hot and humid, but most of the country was hot and humid last week.
And we had a great time. We did use the RV to go back and forth to some of the sightseeing places that we did down there.
Yeah, and it is, it's fun because we had grandchildren. We babysat one night. Can't call it babysitting. The ages were 1 to 21. Yeah, I said to the 21-year-old.
No, the 21-year-old. He was out honky-tonking.
Honky-tonking, yeah. You and I, we took one for the team.
Yeah.
As our youngest boy said. And it was wonderful having the kids.
It was. We had a really great time. And we'll have a video. We shared our family vacation last year in which we went camping in the sand dunes of western Michigan on the shores of Silver Lake. And this one's completely different down in Nashville, Tennessee. We caught the Grand Ole Opry. That was fun.
Oh, I always love the Grand Ole Opry. Now I want to stop there every time we go through Nashville.
Well, we'll be going through there in just a couple weeks.
I know. We'll have to get a bow sitter.
We will. Anyway, this video, we'll have a video up on it, and you can see some of the neat things to do. It's a great place to go. It's very friendly to RVs. There's lots of places that you can park your RV and camp. We happened to park it in the driveway. We stayed in the house with everybody, but we did use it to go back and forth, and then like Jen said, we followed the 330 rule down, but coming back, for some reason, I just felt like going all the way through, and so we did 600 miles back to Michigan.
It was such a beautiful day, and then we got just south of Toledo, and you almost got blown off the road.
Yeah, that storm, it was a massive storm system that kind of broke the heat spell, and we saw it. It was up ahead of us, but we did catch some of those tailwinds, and one little gust, that's all it was. I didn't have
just
any other
gust.
Wind. Just one gust in Ohio across those cornfields. It was pretty good.
So hopefully we'll remember, and warning for everybody else, when you see that black sky, slow down.
Slow down. So we're back in Michigan at our Sticks and Bricks home in north of Detroit, and we'll be here a couple of weeks. We've got some RV projects that we'll be doing over the next few weeks, and you'll see them. We're going to tweak a couple of things, upgrade some components and some internet systems on our RV. And you know me, I show you everything we do in ours, including the mistakes that we made or the things that don't work out. And so we'll show you what we're up to. I'll be shooting video of all these projects that we're going to be able to do. And we're also taking it to Holland Motor Home in Holland, Michigan next week. I'm going to have a ladder put on the back of the
RV. I insist that you have a ladder put on the back of the RV.
Yes, there is a reason why.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't outside watching you.
I was removing something from the roof of the RV and needed my 8-foot step ladder. And I was up there. I was also shooting a video of why I was removing it.
Multitasking instead of focusing.
Now, fortunately, I had to take some of the tools that I had with me. I had to take them down, and I left the camera up there. I'm glad I wasn't holding it in my hand because I missed a step coming down. And I would have fallen, but I kind of hit hard and backed up into the mirror of the RV. Didn't hurt the mirror. Bruised my shoulder a little bit, wasn't bad, and pulled a muscle. I don't even know what muscle is that.
I have no idea what
I call
name
it
of
your
muscle.
Butt muscle. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it.
It's hamstring.
Upper hamstring, where it attaches below your right butt cheek. I don't know, but it is a painful muscle to pull. And I think it was a little awkward with that big 8-foot ladder and carrying stuff down.
You just needed a couple more arms. Yeah.
I mean, I'm fine.
Sometimes you need me.
I do need you. Yeah, you would not have let me climb up there in the first place. So.
Well, I could have handed you. Well, it's too late now. You got to call me when you're going to do some of these crazy things. You need extra hands.
I know. That's kind of what it's...
I mean, the purpose in life, two's better than one.
It is. And we're living proof of that.
Yes. Lucky we're alive.
So I'm going to put a ladder on it. I'm surprised how many times I am up on the roof. Which I kind of like. It's kind of fun up on the roof.
Yeah, I think that's it. You're getting into being up on the roof. And our friends in Quebec said we needed a ladder.
Yep.
We were warned.
They showed us the ladder they had put on theirs, and we will put one on. And it will be, I think, pretty neat. And there's a couple of things I'm doing. I'm removed a couple of things that we installed, and I'm putting on another thing. And you'll see it all in the videos. It's much too complicated.
As long as you're not drilling holes. Tell me you're not drilling holes.
Okay. I'm not drilling holes. I'm not.
That means somebody else. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
Well, we'll see how it all goes. We're also working on our travel season plans for the rest of the year. You know, we're big serendipity planners. And last night we sat down and we added some trips, a trip that we want to take to Ohio. And we started thinking about it. And we got into our 7-day adventure guide book mode. And we came up with about 5 places that would make a good adventure trip in Ohio, and I think we just need to come up with 2 more.
Yeah, because I said to you, not everybody can drive forever.
Yeah, they can.
And there's a lot of us in the center part of the country.
That's right. So we have a couple of trips we're planned in Ohio, which we want to do. One of the things we want to do is we want to visit the Cuyahoga Valley National Park. It's one of the national, if you ask people to give you a list of national parks, unless they live in Ohio, and even many Ohio people, they're not going to come up with that. But it's a really neat park. It's just south of Cleveland, and we're gonna visit that. And I think we want to visit Hocking Hills, which is further south and a little to the east in Ohio, a really neat area. And there's just a lot of neat stuff in Ohio. And who'd think? We go through Ohio all the time on I-75 heading south. So this time we're going to go west and east a little bit and then maybe come back around. I wish I had done the Armstrong Museum in Wapakoneta, Ohio. We went right past it Sunday.
You were on a mission to get home.
But it didn't register me. That was the anniversary of the moon landing, and we could have stopped there and it would have been a nice little story, but we'll go do it anyway. So we're doing that. And then we're going to head to Florida to check things out around on the Emerald Coast. The rental season ends in Florida. We have a condo there, which we rent out, and it's rented up until middle of August, which is when school starts down there. So we got to pop in on that and make sure the renters didn't trash it. And, you know, there's always some stuff you got to maintain. We'll do a little maintenance work on that. And then over to Georgia to catch some of our grandson Matthew's football games.
And Jacob.
Yeah, they're both playing football. Jacob on Thursdays and Matthew on Friday. So we
try and catch as many of those as we can. But then we got to be up in Hershey, Pennsylvania, the first week of September for the big, huge Hershey RV show, which is kicks off the fall RV show season. That's in September. In October, Elkhart, Indiana, the RV capital of the world, they have RV dealer open house. Now, it's not open to the public, but it is a huge event. All the RV dealers come to the manufacturers. Something like 80% of all the RVs and parts are made in the Elkhart area. So it's a week-long event, and there's lots of displays and things to see and entertainment and new announcements. And we went last year and really enjoyed it. So we'll be at that in early October. And then later in October, we got to get out to California, where we will be attending the big California RV show out there in Pomona.
I'm kind of giving up on New Mexico and the balloons.
No, we were talking about the balloon festival in Albuquerque, and I don't know how we're going to do it. There's just so many places to go and things to do. Somebody asked us on our Ask Us Anything YouTube live stream that we do every 7 o'clock every Sunday night on YouTube. They said, how much time do you guys travel? And we used to say half the time. And now
it's two-thirds of the time.
Two-thirds of the time we are on the road somewhere. And so we're using this time to spend a couple of weeks at home to kind of tweak up some of the things I want to do with the RV.
And do I also say that you got a real estate person coming?
Yeah, you can say that.
You want to sell the house with all this?
I do. And well, I do have an appointment with another real estate guy next week over in the Holland, Michigan area, which is beautiful area of Lake Michigan. We're going to look at some stuff there between there and Kalamazoo. So I think we're going to always have a sticks and bricks house. We're not going full time.
No.
Although
that's how rumors start, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So we aren't going to be doing full time. We'll always have a home, a sticks and bricks place someplace.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. You never know. But we'll always have an RV as long as we can get out there.
As long as we can.
There we go. So that's what we're up to this week. And we always like hearing what you're up to. So send us email, just mike@rvlifestyle.com. It's kind of fun to hear your travel plans and what's up with you. We will try and do some meet and greets. We certainly will do one at the Hershey RV show in Hershey, Pennsylvania. We'll do that on a Saturday. And then when we're out in California, in Pomona, we will also do a meet and greet on a Saturday out there. I think the first weekend of the show, we'll do a meet and greet out in Pomona. Maybe we'll do a couple of them out there because we're going to be doing something fun with leisure travel vans, and then we'll also be with the RVIA, the Recreation Vehicle Industry Association, has a, I didn't tell you about this. They moved the venue in California to a racetrack, and so they have asked some of the RV influencers, that's the new term for, I guess, what we do. We just call them the RV couples. And we've been interviewing many of those couples, and you'll hear one other couple, the Adlers, this week. But some of the RV couples are there. We're all going to go in a go-kart race with the proceeds to the winner being donated to the winner's favorite charity. So you ready to do a go-kart race on the Pomona Road racetrack?
I've lived this many years, never being in a go-kart before I die. That's on my bucket list that I didn't know about.
Yes, it is. It is. All right. So anyway, that's what we're up to. And we hope to meet you at one of those shows. And we'll always kind of let you know where we are and try and arrange meet and greets in all the different places as we travel. Because it's so fun to meet you and to shake your hand. And you know, I know there are people out there listening, but it's so neat when you actually see them in person and get to visit with them a little bit. All right, it's time to give a shout out to our podcast reviewer of the week. And Rick G 5555 is the screen name of the guy who gave us a wonderful 5-star review on iTunes. And this is the review he wrote. He said, "Been listening for a long time. I have searched and tried all the other RV podcasts, and this one is the only one I listen to every week. Mike and Jennifer cover a lot of topics for all types of RVers and campers with a focus on real-world boondocking. Mike has a knack for the latest tech stuff to help inform his listeners on how to stay connected to the internet while cruising the country. And one of the best parts of the podcast is his traveling reporters. They have the most creative stories from places off the beaten path." Wasn't that a nice one?
Very nice.
That's from Rick G 5555. And thank you, Rick. We so appreciate those kind words in your review. Jennifer and I read every single one that comes through. And those reviews and the five-star ratings that you guys give us really help us in getting the word out to the RV community about the RV podcast. And so all that is to say that we want to invite you, dear listener, to please do the same. We love those five-star reviews and your comments about the show. Just leave us a review and a rating and whatever the favorite app you have. iTunes would be great. Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, whatever app you listen to us on. We do appreciate your feedback. We read everyone. Please give us a review.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
In British Columbia and the Yukon on parts of the Alaskan Highway, very popular with RVers this time of year, Royal Canadian Mounted Police investigators are trying to solve the murder of a young Australian man and his American girlfriend, last seen on the side of the highway next to their broken-down camping van. Later, two teens on the same road were reported missing after their truck camper was found burning at a highway turnoff. A man's body was later found nearby. No word yet on how that still unidentified man died, though the Mounties say he was murdered too. But after first declaring the missing teens may have also met with foul play, the RCMP announced that the teens are now considered suspects in the murder of the couple. As you'd expect, the murders are causing lots of jitters among the RV community and tourists traveling the highway.
More bad news for Road Trek. About 2,000 Irwin-Hymer Group of North American Road Treks, some dating as far back as 2013, are being recalled for safety concerns tied to the second-row captain seat chair restraints, according to a Canadian story out last week. The four models affected are the CS Adventurous, the RS Adventurous, and the E-Trek, built between 2013 and 2019, and the TS Adventurous, built between 2013 and 2016. In the event of a crash, the second row seats may not provide adequate protection, and owners are being urged not to use those seats until the issue is fixed. Now, if owners want to make repairs to the seats so the vehicles are roadworthy, you may have to pay out of your own pocket to do so. Rapido, the new owner of the Road Trek brand, they just finished that up earlier this month, has indicated that they will not honor any warranty claims for the recalled vehicles as part of its recent purchase agreement with the receiver. Road Trek was basically in bankruptcy, and they bought it from the receiver that was handling its assets. This is just the latest in a whole line of woes for Road Trek. Hundreds of other Irwin-Hymer Group North American RVs recalled last fall in November. Transport Canada issued a recall on 8 2018 models of the company's motorhomes after it was discovered the internal voltage regulator could damage the electrical system by overcharging the batteries. 57 Canadian vehicles were impacted by that, along with 172 in the U.S., A month earlier, 70 Canadian Road Trek Zion motorhomes from 2015 to 2018 were recalled by Transport Canada after it was discovered the bolts that secured the sofa to the chassis could damage the rear brake lines and increase the risk of a crash. And about 290 U.S. vehicles were also recalled. So the issue for this latest one on the captain seats is who's going to fix them? Rapido is indicated that it's not going to do any of those warranty claims for them. There is no Road Trek left, I mean, in terms of the older company that was owned by Hymer Group. So it's kind of nobody's quite sure how you have a recall and have them fixed if the company isn't going to do it. It's a mess, and Canadian and U.S. safety officials are trying to figure all that out, and consumers are wondering, what do I do? And I wish I could give you some better answers, but nobody knows except problems have certainly continued for that brand this year. Looking forward to whatever Rapido is going to do. They're hoping to reboot the brand and start building Road Trek branded motorhomes, the same models that they used to make, the familiar ones. They hope to start doing that this fall. They're hiring people. So we'll watch and see how that comes off. But hopefully that dark chapter that started in January of this year, with really in the fall with all those recalls, and continued on and with the bankruptcy in January. Hopefully that's over, but lots of uncertainty still about the road truck brand.
An interesting article came out last week that connects some of the recent slump in RV sales to tariffs. The article discussed how many components of an RV, be it steel and aluminum, to air compressors and appliances or tire rims and axles, come from overseas and have been hit with high tariffs, raising costs. The article interviewed RV executives who tie the tariffs to higher prices and a slump in sales.
Here's a good news story. Two hikers in Shenandoah National Park ventured off a path just a bit and found a lost dog named Max. The dog went missing July 4th. It was found by the hikers 2 weeks later, hiding under a wild blackberry bush near water. The dog was scared, started growling at first, so the hikers called park rangers, who quickly came and took him off on a stretcher. Max lost about 10 pounds. That is a lot for a dog from the ordeal. He was reunited with his family, who had posted posters of him throughout the park, and Max is doing well, last we heard. Do you remember we did a camping trip once back in this little area we like to go on near the Rifle River Recreation Area in northern Michigan, a wooded area? We had a whole bunch of people, and one of our friends named Margie had a dog, and we were all leaving on a Sunday, and her dog was gone.
And she came back a week later in a happy ending.
Yep.
He was back at the campsite.
A lot of coyotes. It was kind of a little dog. And
we
were all worried about him. And everybody stayed around all night and called for the dog. And finally, everybody had to get back to work. And she came back a week later. And right waiting for her at the campsite was the dog. And dogs are pretty resilient. And they get pretty excited, but they know where to come. And
she was thrilled because I had taken her dog food and dumped it on the ground.
So the dog had some food.
Yeah, some food.
The raccoons and the coyotes.
Raccoons and other creatures didn't get it.
But anyway, it happens, and there's a good news story. This one in Shenandoah National Park, Max was found.
Joshua Tree National Park had to close its popular Keys View overlook last week because of swarming bees. Apparently, when temperatures get extremely hot, as they did last week, the bees need water to cool their hive and will seek that from people carrying water bottles, condensation from car air conditioners, or even human sweat. By removing the people, the bees are forced to look elsewhere for moisture. The Keys View overlooks offer breathtaking views of the Coachella Valley and will remain closed until conditions change.
Here's a weird story. A California woman who went missing for 4 days in a remote area near Montenegro Springs, California, was found safe last week by rescuers. That's good. The 60-year-old woman and her husband were camping at the Grandview Campground in the Inyo National Forest. Well, the husband left his wife and their 4-pound Yorkie poo all of about 7 minutes to move their vehicle. But when he returned, his wife and his dog were gone. And the woman told police after they found her that she fled because a man with a knife appeared, grabbed her wrist, and threatened to rape her and kill the dog. She successfully said she escaped the would-be rapist's wrist grab and ran some 2 miles, escaping, but in flight, she became lost. She was later found when rescuers heard the dog barking several days later. The woman, who is an experienced camper and a hiker, said she lived off cactus and a water stream that she came across. And the police, of course, still investigating that story. Well, this part of the podcast is brought to you by our friends at Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes, now with free shipping and a special discount to listeners of the RV podcast. Rad Power Bikes are just awesome. Jennifer and I have them. In fact, they're just inside here in our house right now, just a few feet away from us. We have the city bike model. Keep them inside because I like them so much. Don't want to leave them out in the elements. Mine is the city bike. It's kind of like a beach cruiser style. Jennifer's is the same model, but it is the walkthrough, the step-through model, which means you don't have to swing your leg over the center support post there. But Rad Power makes a whole bunch of different models. They fit a wide variety of rider wants and needs. There's fast, fat tire Rad Power bikes. There's mountain-style bikes. There's cargo bikes. There's folding bikes. all of them can reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. And you get the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle or use five different levels of pedal assist for an added boost, or you can combine them. They're just perfect for people who want to get back into riding, or maybe you're recovering from surgery or an injury or looking for an extra boost to keep up with friends and family. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. And the deal with Rad Power bikes is they're priced at often less than half the cost of comparable bikes in the market because that dealer retail markup chain is cut out. Now, when you mention RV Lifestyle at checkout, you'll get an additional $75 off. Plus, you get free shipping on all their bike models. Use that coupon code RVLifestyle for an additional $75 off. Visit them, radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
All right, here's a question that was recently posed on our RV Lifestyle Facebook group, and it comes from one of the regulars there, Helen, in Iowa. And she, Helen and her husband Dave are selling their 2017 Zion, and they want to get a RV that's a little bigger so that she and her husband can take their grandkids with them on their RV adventures. And she had an interesting person who wanted to buy that that Zion. And here's her post about a strange request from this would-be buyer. Helen writes, "We had a call from an interested party who wants us to drive 600 miles round trip to show her our RV so she doesn't have to drive all the way from Denver. She seems interested, but she's never driven one and doesn't have financing in place yet. She offered to pay us gas. She also has extreme allergies and may be sensitive to any cleaners that we used. I'm not sure it's a good idea. Would appreciate feedback."
I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't either. No, it's not a good idea. I mean, they're the seller, and this other person is just shopping. Can you believe it? I mean, that's pretty nervy. Drive from, Helen and Dave live, I think, in Des Moines, Iowa. Drive from Des Moines, Iowa to Denver, Colorado to show this would-be shopper their RV.
And a big red flag is she has allergies.
Right. I wrote to her. I said, this woman is just shopping, and she's going to be nothing but problems if that's what she's asking you. And if she's already telling you that she doesn't have the financing ready and that she's got allergies, and she's just going to be nothing but problems. Have nothing to do about it. Don't even think about it. It just doesn't make sense to me.
No, I wouldn't do it.
Well, didn't all of our other people in our RV Lifestyle Facebook group community, that post received over 325 comments so far. Almost unanimous advice is don't do it. And the more I have, I've read all the comments, everybody gives her great advice. You're the seller. The buyer comes to you, and you don't, you know, I mean, if it's across town or something, I mean, that's different,
They don't have their finances in order. That's a little scary.
The woman never has had one before. I just am amazed at the nerve of some people. So anyway, all right, here's an email question we received from a listener named Don W. "Hi, Mike and Jennifer. Thanks for all your great videos and information. I have a question about the leisure travel van Unity FX. I'm sure I could have found my answer by searching, but I want to reach out to you." He knows that we have them. That's the model we have, the Unity FX. "Simple question. Will the Murphy bed fold out without the slide extended? I'm just thinking of times that we'll be parking for the night in places that perhaps prohibit slides from being extended, like most parking lots. Appreciate your opinion on this model." And the answer is?
No.
It will not. Nope. You have to put the slide out to bring the Murphy bed down, at least on the FX model.
On the model that we have, you do. Not all of them do you have to do that, but on ours you do. And one night we did sleep.
Yep, in a parking lot. And
on the sofa and the sofa in the back.
The front sofa, which is maybe, you know, the Murphy bed kind of makes up on top of that when you make it up. Only takes like 30 seconds to put the Murphy bed up. But because we were in a parking lot, kind of boondocking, just a quick overnight stay, we could not put the slide out. So Jen slept on the sofa,
I slept on the best one.
The front lounge. and I slept on the rear lounge.
Very kind.
And it, well, same thing. It was very comfortable. And we were both really surprised. And so we realized that we could take at least one of our grandkids with us because we got with the king bed. Actually, we could take the two granddaughters and you could have all the king and I could sleep in the back with Bo. But anyway, to answer the question, no, if you, and that is the downsides of that model. If you do a lot of parking lot camping, I'm not a big fan of parking lot camping, but sometimes we have to do that coming right. back.
But the bed I slept on, I think, is a little bit longer, just a tad.
Yeah, I think it is a little longer. Mm-hmm. I mean, I basically am right at the edge of it, but I slept great. I really was surprised. I was kind of like thinking I was doing a big sacrifice, feeling like the martyr, you know, I sacrificed for my wife. But actually, I slept great, so.
Well, that's good.
But I sleep pretty good all the time. All right. Hey, do you have a question you'd like us to answer? You can email them or post them and however you want to get them to our attention. Our email address is mike@rvlifestyle.com. But let me give you a better idea. If you just use our voicemail machine, just call 586-372-6990. That's 586-372-6990. You can just record a question right there. Other people can send them in if you just have one of those little voice memo apps on your smartphone. Just give us a voice memo question, and then you can email that in to me, again, at mike@rvlifestyle.com. We love having your voices on, too, besides getting it in email. A lot of people are afraid. They don't want to have their voice on there. And so they, you know, we'll take your questions however you give them to us. But we do like to hear your voice because it makes us feel like we're talking to somebody, really.
And you will edit them if they need editing because you want them to sound good.
Yeah, I'll make you sound good. I promise you. If that number is for the voicemail is 586-372-6990. If you just go to our RV Lifestyle travel blog at rvlifestyle.com, scroll down the page and look on the right side and you'll see that number prominently posted. This part of the podcast is brought to you by Battleborne Batteries, maker of quality, safe, and reliable lithium batteries that can be installed in just about every RV. Get in touch with Battleborne and find out what lithium batteries and an upgraded energy management system can add to your RV lifestyle. Battleborne's motto is get out there and stay out there, and that's their mission, to provide RV and marine batteries made with the highest quality lithium ion phosphate technology at the fairest price on the market. It'll let you have sustained adventures off the grid with batteries that offer better performance. They charge faster, they charge fuller, they're longer lasting and maintenance free. Their team of Battleborne battery experts are familiar with most of the existing components on your RV, regardless if it's a Class A, a C, or a B van. Do you have a travel trailer or a cab over camper? Don't worry, they're experts in those types of RVs as well. They offer various model 12-volt lithium deep cycle models, and they have solutions that will drop into any size travel trailer or motorized RV. All the Battleborne batteries protected by a 10-year guarantee. And they can match your lithium power system with the right cabling, inverter, charger, solar controller, whatever you want. Now, Jennifer and I have one. We have a Battleborne system in our RV, and we rely on it for our boondocking adventures. And when we're out there camping off the grid, it just works awesome. And we can't tell you how much we enjoy it. You can find out just by going to rvlifestyle.com/lithium. rvlifestyle.com/lithium. And you'll connect with the Battleborne website, and from there you can talk to experts and find out what's needed for your RV. Please tell them you heard about them on the RV Podcast.
You're listening to the RV Podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the rvpodcast.com travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. Just click the send voicemail button on RV Podcast.
This week in our interview of the week, we talk about bucket lists. And most people, when they hear that term, think of, places like, where do you want to go? How about you?
I want to see whales. I want to go to Alaska. I think the drive there would be awesomely beautiful. I want to hit as many national parks as I can. Got to hit some of the small ones as well as the big ones.
So a lot of those are pretty epic adventures that take, you know, a commitment of time, and you're crossing the country and you need to have some free time. But what about if you have a 9-to-5 job and you can't get away for long periods of time like retired people can or RV full-timers. Well, that's where our friends Ari and Jesse Adler come in. And they're our special guests this week in the interview of the week. The Adlers have a blog and a YouTube channel called trekkers.org. And it's all about traveling in a Class B RV, a camper van. And it's about camping and hiking and their adventures. Now, because they both have 9-to-5 jobs, they don't have the time to do extended cross-country bucket list adventures. But they nevertheless have and are checking off one of the most ambitious bucket lists I have ever heard of. Well, you get to meet them right now in our RV Lifestyle Interview of the Week. Well, joining us now, Ari and Jesse, and why don't you guys tell everybody what's on your bucket list and what you are doing and what led you to this this quest that you're on?
Our big project for 2019 is to visit all 103 state parks in Michigan. And what prompted it was we found out that it is the centennial of the state parks system in Michigan. They started in 1919. This is the 100th anniversary. And we thought, what a great time to celebrate all of the state parks that Michigan has to offer, because there are so many here compared to many of the other states.
That's a pretty ambitious goal, 103. And that's like, you know, every third day you have to be in another part. And Michigan is a pretty big state. How are you guys doing this? And here we are recording this in July. How many have you visited and how many do you have to go?
So we just completed our 45th park yesterday, actually, with a trip to Belle Isle. But it's been challenging, but it's been a lot of fun along the way. We started in January at Tequamanon Falls. Yes, you can go camping in the winter, as you know very well. And we've mostly been doing them on the weekends because I still have a full-time job. And so we've been fitting them in as we can. We've had a few weekends or long weekends where we've done 3, 4, 5, 6 parks in one weekend. We did 5 in one day, in fact. And we've got a couple big trips coming up where we're going to knock out quite a few of them. So, you know, that's how we've been fitting them in. We've done a couple on weeknights of the parks that were close to our house and or anywhere where maybe within an hour or so. But, yeah, we've just been having a lot of fun seeing what Michigan has to offer and being places that we've never been before.
Any surprises along the way? Are you finding this more challenging than you thought? Are you finding little nuggets along the way? Give us an idea of what unfolds once you commit to something like this and start actually doing it.
I think in terms of challenge, it's just the matter of work that builds up. I mean, it's because, as you said, Michigan's big, so you have to work in travel time, and you want to spend some time in each park. Now, we're not camping in each one, but we do when we can and as our schedule allows. But then just visiting the park, we're doing video for our YouTube channel. We're doing blog posts for each park. And it's surprising how quickly that work adds up, because you have to put the time in to make sure that you're producing a good product and putting something out that people want to watch or people want to read about. And trying to do justice to some of these parks, especially the large ones that we have that are just huge and offer so many things to do.
And I want to echo that. I mean, I do quite a bit of research at each park before we go there so we don't miss anything, because I think actually the biggest challenge that I found is we get to the parks and the interpretive signs or the information in the brochures just isn't there. And there's a lot of history behind these parks that nobody's knowing because the DNR or the parks or the Friends of the Parks programs just haven't had the resources and the money to put into making sure that information is known. On a good surprise, I think we have found that Henry Ford had his hand in a lot of parks in Michigan, whether that's through mining operations or farming, or he donated the land or his family donated the land. It's just actually been really funny and sort of a running joke with us of how many state parks has Henry Ford touched.
You know, it strikes me that there is probably a story like this in every state. The state parks of almost every state in the union would have similar stories of fascinating places and people, and this isn't a bad bucket list for everybody to have, and it's doable, taking one state and trying to visit as many as you can.
It is actually, and I just had a friend who lives in North Carolina, and she just completed all 31 parks in North Carolina. So it's nowhere near as many as 103, but she has five children, and so it's been a pretty big feat to try to get them in. Now, in their system, they actually, I think, win prizes for if you visit all of them in a year. So she's sort of been on a quest to do this and just finished up her last one last weekend. So her and I have been going back and forth about our kind of our bucket list challenges because we're on the same quest.
Yeah, Mike, I think you're right that, you know, every state probably has these philanthropists. And what we're finding throughout the history of Michigan is either the auto company magnates or the lumber barons, these people that had the money and the means back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, especially as the state park system was getting going, a lot of times they would have weekend getaways, you know, hundreds and thousands of acres and a lodge and that kind of thing. And then after they died, you know, their families would keep the land for a little bit, but many times they would then donate it to the state. There's a huge park in southeast Michigan, Highland Recreation Area, that was originally Edsel Ford's sort of weekend getaway property, and it's about 2,400 acres, I think. And now it belongs to the state, and everybody gets to enjoy it.
And you mentioned your bucket list. The title of this whole theme that we're kind of talking about is why it's important to have a bucket list. And a lot of RVers, you know, they just kind of go and sit someplace. And I guess that's okay. But what led you, besides the fact that, you know, it's a centennial year for Michigan, what led you to take this on? I mean, this is a pretty big undertaking, but you must be even starting to think, what happens after we've done this? What are we going to do next? Walk us through that process of setting out a bucket list and then projecting it forward.
For me, you know, I think we see everybody trying to do the challenges of visiting every national park or visiting all 50 states or things like that. And I've always been big proponents of, you know, what's in your backyard? You know, be tourists in your own town. We knew that due to our life and our jobs and our children's situations that we weren't going to be able to just set off on the road right away. So we wanted to see what we could do in our hometown and in our backyard. And so that's where kind of the State Parks Challenge came into play. It was, we have lived in this state for, you know, 30 some years and realized that we'd only hit a small fraction of what the state had to offer. And so this has opened our eyes to all sorts of places and things and history and sites and places that we'd have never been. And I think before we set off to go hit those 50 states and those national parks, because that is something that I want to do, but I kind of wanted to do it in my backyard first.
Yeah, and it's interesting, as Jesse said, you know, if you had asked us before we started this project, had you been to most of the state parks, I think we would have said, yeah, probably. And then when I started to put the list of 103 together, there were towns and places I never even heard of in Michigan. But now we're visiting them. And it's not just about the state park, but we're also looking at, you know, what is there to do in an area? And as you know, Mike, I mean, there's a ton of stuff in this state in terms of nature, but also there's the lighthouses, there's the Great Lakes, there's all these huge inland lakes, just a lot of things to see and do across the state. And we're getting to experience that now. It's been really great.
You know, hopefully we're in a situation sometime soon where we can hit the road and go travel and see those other places. I don't know if I'd specifically pick up next state and knock them off in that, but I think it kind of would be a fun challenge to see how many other parks and places that you could hit. So I recommend that for anybody to do. You know, I still have Alaska on my bucket list. So at some point we're going to hit that, I hope. But, you know, I think we just kind of pick a small area. I mean, we like to move, but we also like to kind of stay put and see what's in an area. So when we do get out on the road, I think you'll likely find us kind of hanging out for a couple weeks in a spot and seeing what there is to do. And
what you're doing is immensely doable for everybody, wherever they happen to be. To pick an area, I like this, that's near you, that you can reasonably explore and explore thoroughly. And I think that's what's really exciting about it. Tell us a little bit about the two of you. I know your story because we've camped together many times and we know each other well. But tell everybody else your backgrounds and where you see this all taking you guys. Another YouTube couple, as I've started to call them. There's so many of us out there now. But introduce yourself to our audience a little bit.
Well, we both have a background in public relations, and through our careers ended up working in the political public relations sector for a while, and then have gotten out of that. I am now doing consulting work on the side. I'm set up to do remote work, which is what we'd like to both do at some point. And, you know, we're trying to figure out what we can do online. I mean, you say there's a lot of YouTube couples. Some of them are making money doing it. That's a long road to go before you can get there. And I don't know if we'll ever get there, but I'm enjoying just taking what we're experiencing and sharing it with people. And we've gotten a pretty good following. We're getting a lot of good comments from people that are enjoying the videos and the blog posts. So to me, that's a big part of doing it.
I like to refer to ourselves as the grandparents now of all these YouTube couples out there. So we're going to include you guys in that group to be your grandparents because it's fun to watch where you're going. Yeah.
Yeah. We enjoy watching other couples, and I think that everybody has a different style of travel and a different style of their channel in terms of, you know, are they talking about their day-to-day life? Are they talking about their travels? Are they doing more inspirational posts? You know, we're sort of doing this mix of history / what's in my backyard, not so much about our day-to-day life because we're not, you know, we're still living in a sticks and bricks, and I don't know how exciting that would be to people right now. But, you know, we've really enjoyed it just spreading the word and sharing that with everybody. You know, I'm still working at Michigan State full time, but, you know, spending my weekends and my vacations traveling as much as I can. And, you know, hopefully that we can move forward with that someday. But, you know, we're always looking for more subscribers and people to follow along in our adventures just because we want to share that with people. And we think it's really exciting.
That's how we kind of got started before we actually did the State Parks project is we were starting to do some YouTube videos and blog posts about travels that we had taken and adventures. We like to hike and camp and go mountain biking, but we're not, I would say, serious in any of those, right? I mean, we didn't want it to be a real intense channel. It was more, I think we set it up as casual conversations about hiking, biking, camping. And it's just, we wanted to show people that you can get out there and do this stuff. You can get out and boondock. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars on equipment. Go with what you have. You don't have to make a big challenge to go across the country. You can just go across your own state. And, you know, I would say that we're trying to knock out these 103 state parks in 2019 because of the centennial. So we sort of put that deadline on ourselves. But maybe, you know, that's too much for somebody. So just get your list of state parks and start working your way through them and take all the time you need. But at least have a goal and start working through that list.
Do you guys have any sponsors? Have you been able to, I mean, this sounds like it's right up the line of what, Pure Michigan, the big advertising campaign that the state does. I see their ads as we travel across the country. Or have you just done this on your own?
We have been doing this on our own. We have not gotten any sponsorships from the state. We had a company sponsorship lined up that fell through. And then we had to make a decision about whether we were going to proceed or not. We decided it was an important enough project and something we wanted to do for everybody. So we've been pressing on and doing it on our own. You know, we do coordinate a little bit. You know, we're trying to coordinate with the DNR to help promote what they're doing. And they occasionally will share some of the stuff that we're doing. But it's mostly a project of the Adlers. And we're covering the cost and we're out there trying to make it work.
Tell everybody how they can follow the Adlers. Give us your blog and your YouTube channel. And we'll put a link in the show notes for it as well. But help people find you guys. Where do they find you?
We are known online as the Trekkers. T-R-E-K-E-R-S, so that's just 1K, sort of like with our road trek. And so we are at trekkers.org for our blog. And then on YouTube, we're just Trekkers. And Instagram, we're trekkers.org, all one word, because somebody had already stolen Trekkers, even though they're not actually using the account. But yeah, so basically Trekkers with 1K is how you can find us on all of the social channels.
Well, we'll put links in the show notes for people as they're listening to this. They're driving down the road and they might not be able to write it down, but they can go to the our RV Lifestyle blog and they can find it. We'll link
to
it.
Be safe, right? Safety
first. Yep. I always say, hey, here it is, write this down. And, well, wait a minute, people are driving, and this is not a good idea unless you've got somebody in a passenger seat that can write it down.
They make your passenger write it down,
right? That's right.
Yeah, have the passenger do it. But yeah, if they go to the website, trekkers.org, that's got links to all of our other outlets that we're on out there, and we're just trying to spread the word as best we can.
We've got a map up there of every place that we visited, so you can follow along. Our YouTube channel is a few weeks behind or so where we've actually been. So we're trying to, the more we visit, the more we have to produce and get them out there. So that's been a challenge as well, fitting in the production time, let alone the actual visiting time. And as you well know, how much the production time takes.
Tell me about it. Yes. It is. All right. Last question. Give a challenge to those who are listening to this. They're saying, you know, we'd like to have some kind of a noble goal. If it's not state parks, encourage people how to start a bucket list and then how to start doing it.
My suggestion is pick something that you're passionate about. Maybe it's visiting lighthouses or waterfalls or every craft brewery in your state. pick something that you already enjoy doing and then go hit all of them.
Yeah, perfect. That's a great one, because if you have that interest, then you're gonna, that'll keep it interesting for you. And you know, we like nature, so we're out there seeing state parks, but we're both history buffs, and being able to be in the state parks and find out the history of some of these places has been fantastic. So it's exciting for us, and we're always kind of looking forward to the next park to see what else we're going to find out.
Well, we look forward to seeing you guys out there on the road, and we look forward to hearing other people who've been inspired by what you're doing, and people who start their own bucket list. Ari and Jesse Adler, the Trekkers, thank you guys so much for being a guest on the podcast.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
The interview of the week brought to you by SunshineStateRVs.com, where every new motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the country. At Sunshine State RVs, you will find the largest selection of used small motorhomes in North America. And bar none, they have more used Class Bs, Class Cs, Class V pluses than any other dealer anywhere in North America. Now, they also sell a full line of brand new RVs like the Winnebago Travato, the Winnebago Era, Coachman, American Patriot, the Fleetwood IROC, and more. If you're looking for an RV, you need to make a trip to sunny Gainesville, Florida. That's where they're located. Or check them out online at sunshinestatervs.com. And one of the things you'll notice when you go to their online site is how huge their used RV inventory is. It's very hard to find a good quality used RV. Well, they have in stock previously loaned RVs, ranging from the early 90s to the current year, everything in between, from the most popular brands like Pleasure Way, Winnebago, Leisure Travel Vans, Coachman, Road Trek, and more. You will not find a wider selection anywhere else. Every RV they sell goes through a very thorough 172-point inspection in which they make sure that every mechanical and manual system is in top condition. Jennifer and I have been there a couple of times, and we've seen them go through these RVs and watch them do this. Every RV is road tested. They make sure it runs and drives the way it should. They go over the interior and the outside, every component turned on and tested. All their used RVs thoroughly cleaned and detailed inside and out. They even check the roof for cracks, and they replace any silicone caulking. You check them out. It is an awesome place to look for a used RV or a new one. SunshineStateRVs.com.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
Once again, time for Tom and Patty Burkett to give us their Off the Beaten Path report.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. The first time we pulled into the Blue Heron Visitor Center, the place was buzzing. Food tents were up, children were chasing big metal and wooden hoops down the road, women were walking around in dresses from the early 1900s, and a bluegrass band was picking away to accompany it all. It turned out that this was Haunting in the Hills, an annual event celebrating the mining culture of the Eastern Coal Belt, especially here in Southern Kentucky.
Cut into the coal seams from a valley where Kentucky and Tennessee come together, Mine 18 was home to hundreds of families during its heyday. It operated until 1962. Everyone moved away when the mine shut down, and the town just disappeared into the woods. A dozen years later, the Park Service purchased it and began work to make it a living history museum. Today, with autumn's foliage marching down the steep mountainsides, it's a town again, running along the narrow valley beside the Big South Fork of the Cumberland River.
Many of the mine buildings have been reconstructed on their original sites, but as skeletons. A roof and floor and open walls enclose displays that chronicle life in a miner's home, the company store, the washhouse, the office, the train station, and the church. In each location are artifacts and first-person recordings from Blue Heron residents about life in the camp. The coal tipple, used to load trains that ran through almost constantly, dominates the community, and you can climb to the upper floors for great views and more interpretive exhibits.
The Visitor Center hosts several events each year, all focused on life in these remote valleys. They often feature live music and storytelling. The Big South Fork Scenic Railway runs into the town, and you can take a ride either one way or round trip from the nearby town of Stearns. Mine history isn't the only thing to see here. The park contains one of the largest concentrations of natural rock arches in the eastern USA. One of our favorites is the Twin Arches at the bottom of another valley. Near an abandoned homestead and a creek, you find the Cherrit Creek Lodge, and if you're lucky, some lunch to break up the hike.
The park itself, Big South Fork National River and Recreation Area, abuts Interstate 75 at the Kentucky-Tennessee border and includes several modern campgrounds. It's also a favorite of equestrians with several horse camping areas, an extensive network of trails and stables. If you like, you can rent a horse for an hour or two or even a whole day and travel the area as the early settlers did. There's great river access, too, if you like to have a paddle or a float. Maybe you'll find us there in some little eddy just out of the beaten current.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there, somewhere off the beaten path.
All right, so ends another episode of the RV Podcast, and we thank you guys so much for spending the past hour or so with us. We are delighted to do this every Wednesday as a new edition of the podcast, and the best way for you to know about it is to use your favorite podcast app to subscribe. Help us by subscribing. And please don't forget those reviews that we've been asking you for. Those really help us get noticed among the RV community. New episodes of the podcast released every Wednesday morning. Every Thursday morning on the RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube is a new video. We invite you also to be a part of our RV Lifestyle community. Join our mailing list. We send out a special newsletter to subscribers every Monday morning. You can get that by just going to rvlifestyle.com, and you'll see a place there where you can sign up to be a part of our community. Don't forget our YouTube channel. Tomorrow we'll take you on a tour of Nashville. Come along on our family vacation. Hey, till next time, on behalf of my wife Jennifer and our dog Bo, I'm Mike Wendland. So long, everybody. Happy trails.